Listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM, and on the web at kboo.fm.
This is your community-supported radio station, KBOO Portland. Before we get going with our programming, I want to remind everyone that you can donate today at kboo.fm/give. We aren't in the station to take your calls, but you can show your support by giving online. Again, that's kboo.fm/give. Or you can also mail a contribution to the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. Thank you.
One, two, three, four.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Never been done before.
We're talking about a subject.
To bring you to the light.
Farewell to you, people.
David D, Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you this afternoon. And as you know, August is the time that we reflect on the concepts around what we call Black August. We look at our political prisoners, we look at the legacy of struggle, and we also look at the annual Black Arts Movement Business District Festival. And it's happening, and this is where we take a look at the Black Arts Movement and its connection with the larger Black freedom struggles. And we have, you know, just an array of people that are participating. And so this afternoon we have, they call her the Renaissance Woman, Dr. Ayodele Nzinga, and we have our very own Kat Brooks, who we all know from our radio show, but more importantly for the work that she does with the Anti-Police Terror Project. I wasn't going to do the initials, Kat, because I always get the initials backwards.
I'm about to just say, baby, you got our name right.
Well, first of all, welcome to the show. And the first question I got to ask you before we talk about the festival is Black August in 2021. What does it mean to you all? What should we be reflecting on? And I'll start off with you, Ayo and Nzinga.
Well, of course, you have to give credit to the contemporary use of the phrase Black August, a movement created by incarcerated activists in the California penal system that asked for discipline and knowledge of self, and sets about the month of August as a month in which to be conversant on history and to be mindful and intentional about Black liberation. Then there's also the fact that a lot of Black things have happened in the month of August. I'd hazard to say probably a lot of Black things have happened every month, but there are 31 days in August, and it holds things like Nat Turner's rebellion and a lot of other serendipitous things that all happened in the month of August.
Yeah.
For the how do we focus it this year? It's an interesting time to be Black in North America on the potential eve of the birth of America. It might actually happen, and to be aware that there are so many people who would like the birth of America to be a stillbirth, that it would be born dead on arrival. And so for an artist, it is a really important time to put your shoulder in that door that might push it all the way open and allow us to move from this pregnant moment into the potentiality of a new paradigm where equity is actually possible.
Real talk right there. Appreciate that. Kat, how do you see it? And let me just ask, with the work that you've been doing, it seems like a long continuation to fight against the forces of oppression, in particular the policing forces that we've had to deal with. It seems like, you know, we can pick any period in time, you know, since our, you know, arrival on these shores, and we will see that there was a Cat Brook type of individual, you know, whether they were abolitionists, you know, whether they were Panthers, whether they were, you know, other formations or people that were fighting this fight. But here we are in 2021 and we're still at it. You know, when you think of Black August and, you know, and understanding that legacy of struggle, what's your thoughts on that?
It's so funny, Dave, because you like literally asked the question to where I was going to segue to. And during the rebellions following the murders of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, you know, we saw a lot of our young revolutionaries in the streets. And I kept hearing them say, you know, this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. And, you know, I kept my older self quiet. But in my head, right, I was like, this isn't the beginning of anything. This is a continuum of resistance. We've been fighting this fight since the first African was kidnapped and dropped off on these shores. And so for me, Black August is a time for political education. This is a time when some of us older heads, right, we should be educating our young folks about what Black August is, what it means. Hopefully you are implementing some sort of sacrifice in your home if you're celebrating it traditionally, right? You don't buy from any commercial stores. You don't eat before sundown. No alcohol, no tobacco, no drugs. That this is a time that we remember that we still have brothers and sisters that are languishing in American concentration camps for doing little more than what we do, right? Mm-hmm. They were screaming, seize the time. We scream Black Lives Matter. So it's a time for all of those things and to celebrate Black resistance and Black resilience.
One of the things I like about the festival, the Black Arts Movement District Festival, is that we are focusing on, I think, a very potent weapon that we've always had in our arsenal. And we've seen during this continuum, this fight, that at every turn, the powers that be have tried to quiet our, what we call artistic expression. I don't usually use the word art, but I just call it expression, you know, of whether it's dance, oral tradition, playing the drums, but whatever it is that we do, there's been cause to monitor it, suppress it, you know, from J. Edgar Hoover on down. So it seems like when you're doing a festival, you're really going for the jugular vein and fighting back. Can we talk a little bit about this, Nzinga?
This is, as a youngster stay in the hood, this is a demonstration. This is an unabashed strutting of our talent, our genius, our intellect, the fact that we are people who are connected around the globe, the fact that our conversations overlap and merge, that it is difficult to be Black no matter where you are on the globe, that where we elevate not just creative things. First of all, as a scholar, in order to teach someone something, you must first get their attention. And so without we get the attention and we collectively gather And then the drum, the art itself, is the information. And we've got such a full calendar of ways to offer you mental groceries from as many perspectives as you could imagine exist in a non-monolithic culture, like North American African culture. So it is literally, you have to understand that for us, art and culture are inseparable. Culture is simply signs and symbols that people have figured out how to live. And for us, art has never been really about entertainment. It has always been about ritual that either sought something to happen or gave thanks that something had happened, or the warning that something is about to happen, because I don't like how you acting, so something to go down.
Right.
So nothing has changed for us. There are no successful political movements without attendant art movements.
Do you think we've gotten away from that? It seems like a lot of people have kind of put that on the back burner, or if they do bring art, they bring it in the realm of entertainment and not as, you know, weaponry, which I've always saw it to be. You know, and what do you think we need to do to change that dynamic?
I don't think that it has gone anywhere. We talk about the underground with great affection, the underground where we write the rules, the underground where you don't ask permission, you do. Conscious art exists, has always existed, will always exist. It is not what you're going to hear on KMEL. It is not what your major record companies are going to sign. So that is, it's always there. The length of time that hip hop has existed as a movement, and the way that movement has actually moved here in modern history, where we could watch it, as we watched it shoot around the world everybody's language, even once co-opted. And, you know, there's a whole segment of it that, you know, I question even whether it's hip hop. I don't know what it is. But the essence of what hip hop is still extremely potent. And then that's just the continuation of the Black Arts Movement. So I don't really think that conscious art went anywhere. You listen to some of these young poets, some of these people that are not tying themselves to major labels, but are creating independent art. It's one of the things that the internet has been useful for. As an artist, I'll admit it floods us with so much stuff until you have to be discriminating about what has quality and value and what doesn't. But it also allows someone with a unique voice to be able to have reach and range. And so literally, when you look at a festival like ours that is showcasing art from around the world, you know, we got people from Sony South Africa and a plethora of independent labels and independent labels in other countries that are participating in this. So I don't think artists went anywhere. I think sometimes they don't tell you when you're winning.
Right. And I think maybe sometimes we got into the habit of consuming and not realizing that Black art at its finest is a community endeavor. You know, we all get to sing, we all get to dance. It's a participatory thing. It ain't a sit back and clap, even though we can appreciate the fact that you can sing. But, you know, I tell people, go to a church. We all sing. You know, I don't care if you're Luther Vandross or Anita Baker or Whitney Houston, we all gonna sing. Every last one of us. And if you go to a party, I don't care if you're Fred Astaire or Bojangles, we all gonna dance. That's just the right, you know, that's and that's that ritual thing. It's a mm-hmm. spirit thing.
Mm-hmm.
Kat, let me bring you in, because, you know, many of us know you as, you know, for your organizing prowess, but you're a damn good actress, you know.
Well, thank you, ABT.
You know, I've seen you do plays where I had to walk out speechless, you know, and a good poet. So let's talk about your artist angle, you know, and where does that fit in the work that you do today, and, you know, and how will it manifest during this festival?
Iodella, y'all, word slinger, is my mentor, as along with being my partner in all things creative. And she has a great saying. And actually, you're on the phone, so I gotta on the line. I gotta say it. You say it about God whispering in your ear, and then I'm gonna build my answer from there.
I believe, like the Dogara people, the God whispered something in everyone's ear before you took your first breath. And those of us who remember what that thing is and do it, we live harmonious and productive lives. And so for me, what God whispered in my ear was to create, to make. I'm doing what I was told to do.
And I'll say that in circles before we would take stage, and it resonated with me so deeply. And for me, I feel like God whispered in my right ear to make art and in my left ear to make revolution. And folks don't realize I've been making art longer than I've been making revolution. I started acting when I was 8 years old. And so for me, my art is a tool for social change. Artists are the conscience of our community, and it's our job to use our craft, right, to be the soundtrack to the movements for social justice and building the world that we want to live in.
It also seems like it's needed to make the movement attractive to people, to decipher the message, you know, the complexities of it. And it's another way of communicating. You know, I'm thinking you're going to write.
Listen to me, right, standing on the corner of 14th and Broadway screaming in a microphone. I may not be able to get to people like that, but if I can get them in a 99-seat black box theater where you have to look at Tasha's story, right, that's a conversation that I may not be able to have anywhere else but inside of that theater.
Real talk. And Tasha's story is the play about the young woman that was from Virginia who was killed inside the prison. Very, very powerful. You have an incredible lineup in Zynga. Can you talk a little bit about it? I see everybody from Marvin X on down, you know, involved in this iteration of the festival. So what's happening? It seems like you got something every day going on.
Well, that's what we promised you, 31 days of art and culture, and we try to deliver. We've got a lot of local talent. Oluwate of Film Realize, Shaka Jamal, is always ran our short film festival, and he's back this year with some great local and then once again some international filmmakers to talk to. More film is the Black Arted Film Fest, short film festival that is being curated by the Queer Arts Center. We've got Lisa Gray, who's a local writer and does a lot of things with New Voices over in San Francisco. She'll be hosting a couple of evenings, the most interesting of which is probably Covering Race, the critical conversation with Black female reporters. We've got Doshe Healing Arts. Sister Nati has written a book about self-defense. And so she'll be teaching self-defense and meditation, how to be well in one's own body and protect one's own body if one does not feel well within it. We've got Kai Wickington doing Black to Love, an international conversation with artists every Saturday morning. And she's just walking around the world. So tune in and she'll take you somewhere. And those artists will be in conversation with artists here in the United States. We've got Aries Jordan doing Black to the Future, Afrofuturistic writing workshop, which sort of plays into a poet laureate affair at the Oakland Museum of California, where I and Tongo Iason and Cece Gervais from Richmond, all Black poet laureates, will be holding it down in the museum for a night. Ain't that nothing?
Yeah, that's dope.
Yeah, that is super dope, isn't it? Also, there'll be a lot of theater. We are bringing you Black House, written by Kat Brooks, and I get to the privilege of starring in what has been described as a dystopian nightmare for the far right. It's a
story. I love that. Yeah. Sorry, I just got to break in there. That was brought to us by our very own Dan Siegel, you all.
Yes. And it is exactly that. It is looking at what the United States has evolved into 50 years or so down the road with its first Black female president. And so you don't miss Black House. Kat Brooks will be reading from a new work in development called I Am She, that travels from the very first Black female captured through present days, and talks about the fragility of the sanctity of Black femaleship in the hands of white supremacy. Tomorrow night, we'll be out at Lake Merritt with a back to school, back to sanctuary thing in partnership with the Black Organizing Project and Oakland Rising. A lot of what we're doing is online because we are paying attention to the health condition, and we understand how devastated our community has been by this pandemic. Also, a lot of it is free. No charge, because we want this gift to reach the community. It is our privilege to pay the 70 plus artists that we are paying in the production and the performance of BAMFest. I believe we create the largest artistic payday in the city of Oakland with this festival.
It looks incredible, and I would tell people to go to BAMFest, BAMBDFEST.com to look at the schedule. It's just chock full of stuff. Kat, this Black House, you wrote the play itself?
I did. I wrote it and I directed it, and Mashiro stars in it along with another delicious actress named Nico Buchanan. I'm very excited for it to.
So how walk us through the process. You are organizing, you're doing stuff on the radio, you're a parent. How do you, for me, when I wrote, I had to go, to another space. I had to tell, the wife, you watch the kids all day while I go and sit there and write. And I mean, and even then that wasn't enough time. So how are you, doing something and bringing it to the forefront? And I know it's not going to be, half-assed. So how, what's the secret on this?
Well, David, I mean, you mentioned I'm a poet as well, but poetry, at least for me, right, it sort of flows. It's faster when it hits. Of course, writing a play takes more time. And I actually had to be drugged, and I was part of the dragging, kicking and screaming into the world of being a playwright. I was like, that's not what I do. And I'm very grateful she did, because it makes my heart sing. That said, I can be as busy as I want to be. When Dr. Nziga says, write, you beat right, and you get it done. and really for me though, real talk, when it hits. And I write, Driving the Girls, which is a play that actually took me 10 years to write. It's a full length play. I wrote it in one sitting. I just never got up from the counter, right? I mean, there's editing after that.
Right.
So splash, you just get into a zone.
Okay. Well, now that we know you can write some plays, you need to do a play and, put your homie in there. give me a little speaking part somewhere. I can say a few words.
Coming, baby, it's coming. You don't study this, you'll have
it. Nzinga, let me ask you this, Dr. Nzinga. I'm joking around and I'm half serious with Kat because of her in the play. But since this is kind of building off of the legacy of the Black Arts Movement, plays were first and foremost going to, Mary Baraka's Black House and all the stuff that was done out here on the West Coast and in Chicago. Can we talk about the significance of plays itself, just as a powerful tool of communication and a weapon as it was used in the Black Arts Movement?
It's probably the most obvious seizing of the narrative, being the authority that tells the story, the seizing of the permission to be the interlocutor, to be the narrator, the owner of the truth, as we suspend our belief to sit in the dark and watch something together. The idea that anything can happen on a stage or in a film, anything can happen, and then that everyone goes home alive is very powerful, to be able to show that the wages of sin are death, and right, a bunch of people die And then everybody get up and goes home. And, you know, and the best drama, in my opinion, is the drama that people applaud for and their paychecks involved. So the idea of being able to seize the narrative, it is said you cannot be what you cannot see. So how do you introduce people to things that they've never seen, or the possibility of being the hero, the possibility of being the protagonist? Or what happens when the person that's presumed to be the villain actually turns out to be the hero? Where's the space for you to sit in and understand how that happened? You know, where do we get places like even in the contested movie, The Black Panther, where do we find and get to look at people like Killmonger and understand the complexity of who that character is and how that story can be retold, and it could have a totally different ending?
You know, one of the things with the Black arts movements from the Harlem Renaissance and even before that to the Black arts movement that you all are building off to now, there's a thing of intentionality. I never seen these movements to be something that just kind of happened. You know, people were sitting around and it just emerged. It seemed like people sat in a room and said, "We, as you said, we're going to control the narrative and we're going to put something forth." I bring this up, and Kat, you could jump into this too. There seems to be a narrative in Black expression that really highlights the mangling, the killing of our bodies. I've seen way too many things where we don't win. It's like, and you know, people will clap and say, yeah, you know, they died a beautiful death. And I'm like, well, I don't want to see us dying. When you all are doing the art, how do you draw the line, or do you draw a line to making sure the narrative changes where we see ourselves victorious? Is that a goal in some of this? Is there a thin line between what they call trauma porn, you know, where we see these dead Black bodies, and maybe just truth telling? How do we separate that? And what do you think is needed at this point in time as artists and practitioners? And either one of y'all can hit on that.
Before you take it, Kat, I know you've got all kind of thoughts about trauma porn. What does the truth telling, what's the intention of the truth telling? What do you want to happen as a result of the truth telling? The fact that Black people live hard existences, the fact that there is trauma, is an important narrative, I think, to put forward, because it can't be about us all just singing and dancing. It can't be okay to ask me, girl, why ain't you smiling at me? Smile for me. The hell I got to smile about? I ain't free yet. Let me look like I'm serious about being liberated, right? So there is something about the invisibility of the lived reality of a people who run twice as fast to stay in the same place and collectively suffer to the one from post-traumatic stress syndrome and are constantly rewounded. White people and other people need to understand that reality and understand the danger of keeping a people in that lived reality, how volatile that is, and how completely unpredictable and uncontrollable keeping a people in that set of circumstances is. But there's a line in a play that we do. Tune in and see Riot during BAMFest and listen to our conversation about civil disobedience that follows that. There's a line in that where a young man asks his father, where's it written the Black people gotta lose?
Yeah.
Why can't we win? So we need that voice too. We need a space to consider winning. And one more thing before I let Kat in, it's terribly important to me. We also need a place to proclaim that you can quit looking for Black joy. Every time somebody go around looking for Black joy, I get highly insulted. It ain't that hard to find. How joyful do a people have to be to get up in the face of all that trauma and continue to create and to live and to be of service? Black joy is uber apparent. Quit searching for it. It ain't lost.
You know, before Kat comes in, one of the, when you were talking, the thing that I remember was a long time ago, I had a conversation with one of the members of Wu-Tang, or one of their extended members. I won't put them on blast. And they were describing a video that they had done. And it was like, oh man, you know, we're standing in a garbage and we have our Timberlands on and we're running and blah, blah, blah. And I challenged him. I said, well, you know, Method Man got beat up by the police, you know, a couple of weeks prior to you doing this video. Why don't you do a video where you're chasing the police? And that brother could not see himself doing that. He was like, I hear what you're saying, but we're going to stand in this garbage and we're going to do this. And I was like, but, you know, you're spending like $50,000 on a video. Why don't you do the video where you win? And I realized, like, he could not see himself do a video where he was chasing the police. You know, Tupac did a video where at the end they shot a cop, and that video has disappeared from the face of the earth. You cannot find it. It was at the end of Trapped. You know, it's like it's just disappeared, which told me that this is a very, you know, when we control the narrative, people understand and it becomes powerful. So one narrative, you can continue on, keep running from the police, and be trained in your mind not to even see yourself spending your own money where you could win. And then in other places where somebody has that revolutionary spirit, let's just remove it from the face of the earth. You can't find it on YouTube or no place. But that was just something that I was thinking about. And Kat, you could build off that a little.
I mean, it's a weird dynamic, yes, because on the one hand, as an artist, as to Ayo's point, you can do anything in the theater, right? I can make anything happen on stage. And so my ultimate goal is for Black people to win. And so I want to tell those stories where Black people win, right? And at the same time, I want to tell the truth, right? Because so often, particularly in Hollywood, when they tell our stories, and I'm using air quotes, right? It's whitewashed, it's Hollywood washed. The sheer brutality of the Black story in this country has never been told through a Hollywood filmmaker. I wanna tell those stories, right? I wanna tell that reality. And I don't look at it as trauma porn. I don't look at it as Negro porn. I've, you know, there's that debate that came up as we saw more and more of our bodies being executed on social media, right? How much is too much? Until it stops. You have to look at this until it stops. And by you, I'm talking about white folks in particular. I do think it's a balance, right? We have to have victories. That's part, I think, of healing our trauma, and nobody's going to give us the victories but us.
So do we go back to that intentionality that I was talking about, as we saw in other movements, whether it's the Harlem Renaissance, where they said, let us make sure that people see us in our humanity, put on our Sunday best, film us in our best light. Let's put that narrative out there, not just for the sake of white folks, but for ourselves to see ourselves in a way that can be inspiring. Do we have to do that when we have the amplification of our, you know, of people being killed by the police? I see folks enjoy that. Like, yeah, we did it again. You know, from New York to, you know, LA to Mississippi, look at it. You know, they get a joy out of it. Do we have to be intentional to say, you know what, let's do some movies where we flip that narrative a bit?
Yeah, I think it's both and. I think we got to tell the truth, and I think we've got to empower our people. But I think that telling the truth is also an accountability mechanism for us, right? This is actually the truth of America then and now. But then we get to use the theater to create the future that we want, right? Like one of the conversations that we had during this reimagining public safety process that artists played such a huge role in, right, is that it's the artists that help us reimagine, right? A world without police. It's the artists that write those songs, that write those plays and tell those stories. And the people need that in order to be able to fight for this thing that they have yet been able to touch, taste, or see.
Real talk. I appreciate that. Well, look, I know everybody has things to do. You probably have another play to write. And Ndinga, you're putting, you know, this festival together. Any last comments or thoughts that you want to leave our listeners with in terms of what we should think about with the vision of this festival, with BAMFest, Anything you want to leave them with? Marching orders.
You got to come out and get some of this. There's no way that you let something like this happen in the town and not support it in some way. An event I didn't mention is called In the Service of Change, and it's a fishbowl where myself and some other interesting people, James Birch of APTP and A.M. Smiley from the San Francisco Bayview Opera, a mother who's lost her child to intergroup violence, and a couple of people sit up and discuss in a fishbowl what causes transformation, what actually causes healing, and you'll be able to interact with us through chat. And these, again, are the types of things that we're offering up. It's a fishbowl conversation. Come in here, the five of us, and feed the chat. There are a number of literary events. So Afro Beats is in Snow Park on the 7th. Go out and hear some music. The 21st of August is Digital Underground Day in Oakland. Pass through Oscar Grant Plaza. We will have a surprise for you there. So it's come and get wet. We got the ocean for you.
There you go. Appreciate that, Kat. Any last comments from you?
Yeah, support Black art, man. Support Black art. Love Black artists. Love us. We love you. We spend our lives loving you. We bleed for you, literally. Love Black art. Love Black artists. And come get some healing, right? We're going on 2 years of this pandemic. And we all need, I think, a little bit of healing. And I think that theater does that in a very particular kind of way. And so I encourage folks to come take a bath, right, in the healing.
Well, Black art, whether you're the participant, and a lot of times when you're consuming it, is a healing thing as well.
Black art saved my life. Facts. Beginning, middle, end of story.
There you go.
I want to quote our sponsor, Earl Stevens, a.k.a. E-40. Y'all come on out and do it for the culture. Bam!
So 40 is the sponsor there?
Yes.
I like that.
40 has been a consistent sponsor of BAMFest since 2019 and a supporter of the Lower Bottom Players for longer than that.
And his whole family is deep into our artistic expression. People forget that he's in a band. I always tease him. You need to tell him that you was in a band and that you play these instruments and all that. He'd be like, oh, yeah, you know, Dave, we did a little bit of this and a little bit. You know how he talk, but they're serious about their art. So that's good to know. And it's good to hear that. All right, Dr. Nzinga, Kat Brooks, thank you so much. We're going to take a break here on Hard Knock Radio. We'll be right back.
Hard Knock Radio. We're rocking with Picasso.
What?
And Maya.
Who?
My last name is Susana. Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes you just gotta go.
You will never know what you could ever be. If you never try, you will never see. Stayed in Africa, we ain't never leave. So there was no slaves in our history. Were no slave ships or no misery. Call me crazy, or isn't he? See, I fell asleep and I had a dream. It was all black everything.
We ain't get exploited. White man ain't fear it, so he did not destroy it. We ain't work for free, see they had to employ it. Built it up together, so we equally appointed. First 400 years, see we actually enjoyed it. Constitution written by W.E.B. Du Bois. When no reconstruction, civil war got avoided. Little black Sambo grows up to be a lawyer. Extra, extra on the newsstands. Black woman voted head of Ku Klux Klan. Malcolm Little dies as an old man. Martin Luther King read the eulogy for Ham. Followed by Bill O'Reilly, who read from the Koran. President Bush sends condolences from Iran. Where Fox News reports live that Ahmadinejad wins the Mandela Peace Prize.
You never know what you could ever be if you never
never try, you will never see. Stayed in Africa, we ain't never leave. So one no slaves in our history. One no slave ships, one no misery. Call me crazy, or isn't he? See, I fell asleep and I had a dream. It was all black, everything. And it ain't no projects. Keeping it real's not an understood concept. Yeah. Complexion's not a contest, cause racism has no context. Hip hop ain't got a section called conscious. Everybody rapping like crack never happened. Crips never occurred, no bloods to attack then. Matter of fact, no hood to attack in. Somalia's a great place to relax in. Fred Astaire was the first to do a backspin. The Rat Pack was a cool group of black men that inspired five white guys called the Jacksons. Eminem fitted in, but then again, he inspired a black rapper trying to mimic him. And that's really rose up out of Michigan. A sign of white rapper by the name of 50 Cent. You will never know what you could ever be. If you never try, you will never see. Stayed in Africa, we ain't never leave. So one no slaves in our history. One no slave ships, one no misery. Call me crazy, or isn't he? See, I fell asleep and I had a dream. It was all black, everything. And I know this just a fantasy. I cordially invite you to ask, why can't it be? Now we can't do nothing about the past, but we can do something about the future that we have. We can make it fast or we can make it last. Every woman queen and every man a king. And when those color lines come, we can't see between. We just close our eyes till it's all black, everything. You will never know what you could ever be. If you never try, you will never see. Stayed in Africa, we ain't never leave. So one no slaves in our history. One no slave ships, one no misery. Call me crazy, or isn't he? See, I fell asleep and I had a dream. It was all black, everything.
Black Caucus has many markers throughout the long history of resistance in the Americas. There are more than we could ever recount here, but here are a few that are important and undeniable events that affected other events and indeed had global impact. It was a hot, humid morning in August 1619 when dark-skinned Africans were unloaded from a ship in the English colony of Jamestown in Virginia. They were called indentured servants by the people who purchased their contracts. It is unknown what the Dutch sailors called them. Some 30 years later, they would be called something that millions of other Africans would be called on American shores for the next 200 years, slaves. They were, in fact, captives, chained, stolen captives of a vicious race war against black life by the merchant princes of Europe. For those people who call themselves African Americans, their unique history begins here. Another notable date in the struggle for liberty in the Americas happened on another shore, among people who spoke no English and perhaps no European languages at all. Their freedom struggle, however, would change the course of world history, and before it ended, transform the face of at least two empires. I speak of the valiant people of Haiti, at the time called Saint-Domingue. In the northern reaches of that Caribbean island, in August 1791, Africans, mostly from the Congo, held religious services in the dark of the night. They prayed to their ancient gods of African memory and vowed to fight against every slave owner and overseer in the land. They vowed to not stop until free or dead. It was a sweaty time when the slaves rebelled against their tormentors. It would be 13 long years, but by January 1804, a new and independent nation was born, free of the monstrous transatlantic slave trade. The Haitian Revolution, the first truly successful slave revolution in history, had succeeded. The destruction of the French army by the black and mulatto armies of Toussaint Louverture meant far more than a military or even a political victory. It meant the end of French dreams of an American empire and the loss of the richest colony in the world. It meant Napoleon could not hold the vast mid-American territories called Louisiana. The revolution, therefore, weakened French holds on the Americas and allowed the United States to purchase a prize that would double the new nation's size overnight. All of this began in the dead of night in August 1791, when slaves planned a revolution. On August 21st, 1831, the explosive rebellion of Nat Turner turned Southern society inside out. Although he has been labeled by traditional, that is, white historians, as a madman, Turner was in fact a deeply religious man who was moved by signs and portents that he saw in the summer sky, compelling him to fight for the freedom of his captive people. Only in a slavocracy would the idea of freedom fighting and resistance seem mad. Some 30 years after Nat Turner's rebellion, the Civil War would deal a death blow to American bondage. If there is a facet of American history that does not go beyond the books and records of yesteryear, it has been the various Seminole American wars that were waged across Florida. There were at least three Seminole U.S. wars, and one of them ended on August 14th, 1842. Now, some will ask, what does an Indian-American war have to do with Black August? Well, that's because the nature of the Seminoles and the real reasons behind their raging wars with the Americans is hidden beneath the mists of history. The very name Seminole derives from the American Spanish term for escapee, refugee, or runaway. It stems from the term Cimarron, which was used by the Spanish to denote Indian or African runaways from slavery. The English in Jamaica and the Leeward Islands called their runaways Maroons, from the same root word. The Seminoles were once part of the Creek Confederacy, but unlike many of their contemporaries, they forged close and lasting relationships with runaway Africans and habitually refused British and American demands for the return of slaves to white service. The American general who fought in the Seminole Wars, Thomas Jessup, put the question squarely when he declared, quote, "This, you may be assured, is a Negro, not an Indian war," unquote. General Jessup wrote those words because of the hundreds of black warriors fighting on the side of the Seminoles, and because the Seminoles refused to sell men, women, and children who had become their kinfolk. It is noteworthy that of all the Indian wars fought against the Americans, the Seminole Wars cost the most American casualties. August 30th, 1856. When the name of John Brown is evoked, the shadow of Harper's Ferry arises in the mind of the small group of rebels who tried unsuccessfully to seize an American armory and foment rebellion among the slaves. But years before Harper's Ferry, John Brown had waged war against pro-slavery forces in Osawatomie, Kansas, after Missourians had sacked the town of Lawrence, Kansas, some 3 months earlier. The fighting in Kansas led to excited reports about bleeding Kansas. What they were tough, nasty border wars between anti- and pro-slavery forces, each trying to dominate the other. Indeed, Brown was called Osawatomie Brown before Harper's Ferry marked him as a martyr for the sacred cause of freedom. August 11th to 16th, 1965. The fires of Watts, a black community in Los Angeles, California, were markers for rebellion for the generation of blacks in the 1960s. These rebellions, staged in response to brutal police attacks on people, cost the lives of 34 people and also almost $20 million worth of property damaged or destroyed. August 5th, 1970. The Black Panther Party's Minister of Defense, Huey P. Newton, spent some 4 years in prison before winning his release on $50,000 bail on this date. It marked his physical return to the party, at the time a period of great hope. August 8, 1978, one of the earlier MOVE confrontations. Some 9 MOVE men and women were sent to prison for hundreds of years, stemming from a deeply flawed trial. MOVE members continue to fight for the release of their imprisoned comrades. MOVE veterans of the August 8 police assault have been in prison for 25 years in dungeons throughout Pennsylvania. They remain rebellious spirits who oppose a repressive status quo. The spirit of Black August moves through centuries of black, Indian, and multicultural resistance. It is an emblem of the spirit of freedom. It is a long smoldering spark of the fire in the hearts of a people, hearts burning and yearning for freedom. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Yeah, boy. one city, one country, one state. Some place to be nobody. Some place to be. Some place you wouldn't know probably. If Chappelle moved to Ghana to find his peace, then I'm rolling. Where the service always roaming, I'm packing my bags and going. It's a challenging act, it's a balancing act. Visit beautiful places, it's more out here than the trap. Houses in Long Island, they always found him. House in the South, a nigga barely got out. Sunny LA, remember calls with Dr. Dre. He told me, don't let the palm trees fool you, be safe. Me and my higher self, we often would speak. Somehow we lost the connection, might meet at Joshua Tree. And it's been bothering me. Too many wavy women, gotta log out of IG. Can't be my HDMing, no kidding. It's hard to move like a civilian. I write the truth cause I live it, not like you musical. We did it big and they biggest. They rather shoot than write tickets. What it feel like to go get it? What it feel like to go miss it? In one city, one country, one state. Some place to be nobody. Some place to be. Some place you wouldn't know probably. Some place to be nobody. Bought a plane, said let's go to Paris. That's where baguettes are from, French bread that's long and narrow. I like the other definition, rectangular carrots. The concept of the song is rather esoteric. This girl said in Grenada we should go get married. Broke the meaning down of the Virgin Mary. And you got your own place. My favorite part of the night when you text me that you made it home safe. I'm contemplating at the home base how I'm used to breakfast in the ghetto sipping OJ. That's a picture right there, a moment in time. Before anybody wanted a photo of mine. Before the internet energy and social decline destroyed the vibe, fooling us with the headlines. Keeping us blind. Vultures eat you alive. Take heed to the signs. Wishing I find one city, one country, one state. Some place to be nobody. Some place to be. Some place you wouldn't know probably. Some place to be nobody.
All my time has been focused on my freedom now. Why would I join them when I know that I can beat them now? They put their words on me and they can eat them now. That's probably why they keep on telling me I'm needed now. They tried to box me out while taking what they want from me. I spent too many years living too uncomfortably. Making room for people who didn't like the labor, but wanted the spoils, greedy, selfish behavior. Now let me give it to you balanced and with clarity. I don't need to turn myself into a parody. I don't do the shit you do for popularity. They clearly didn't understand when I said I get out, apparently. My awareness like Keanu in the Matrix. I'm saving souls and y'all complaining about my lateness. Now it's illegal for someone to walk in greatness. They want the same, but they don't take risks. Now the world will get to see its own reflection. And the anointed can pursue their own direction. And if you're wrong and you're too proud to hear correction, walk into the hole you dug yourself a projection. See me in my freedom, taking all my land back. They said a lot against me, thinking I just stand back. I got my legs beneath me, I got my hands back. A lot of people sabotaged, they couldn't stand that. I turned the other cheek, I took blow after blow. There's so much crisis in the world because you reap what you sow. When you keep what you know is meant for someone else, the ditch you dig for them, you might just end up in yourself. I'm in the secret place, I keep a sacred space. They keep showing their hands, but keep hiding their face. If I'm a messenger, you block me, then you block the message. So aggressive, the world you made is what you're left with. Pride and ego over love and truth is reckless. Y'all got a death wish, the stupid leaves me breathless.
Some place to be. Yeah. Ain't ducking nothing. Just might have to build my own city where y'all need a real passport to enter. Miss Hill, we ain't going nowhere. They gonna have to deal with us. Make them uncomfortable. Yeah.
Let us. Ha. Hey, hey, hey. Ho, 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 knock radio. East, west, north, south, conectados. Every set, every hood, barrio to barrio. Y'all stand up, stay righteous. Speaking to the thugs, one love. We know where y'all at. top, Brown Buffalo. It's a hard knock life, gotta pay your bills. They want a song about bling, but it ain't real. We speak to the kids and the OGs. Organize, mobilize, be the change you wanna see. 415's bumping Hard Knock Radio, Brown Buffalo, all up in your stereo. And to the youth, live life like it's golden. Go dumb, go hard, but don't forget where you're going. We from the hood, so it's all to the Hard Knock, turn the speakers in your car up. Quality program, turn in for the real talk, don't stop. EMN, at it again, Simon, Adamant, Chris, Juwan, Kim, innovation, stimulating ill conversation. Anything else, just imitation, simulation. Step into the zone, the Bay Area zone. Hard Knock Radio, let's go. Big shout out to Nita and Davey D. Yeah, right, feel me. Yeah. Honing down at Hard Knock Radio.
Hard Knock Radio.
Kinda crazy though. Oakland, stand up.
Yeah. Stand up.
Ensemble, Big Night Wolves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bellevue. Come on, check out.
Why every novice think they hard knock when they ain't going all in and ain't paid the cost of the fee? Hating that they made they beats, trying to eat till they ready from the steel crate. I'll save you a seat at the table with a great red making a speech. Say some peace to the lovers I named with a please. Hey, there's some shade on your name in the street. Let's go. Hey, we need David G.
Real Talk Radio. You and I rocking with the best in the West.
Yes, Coast. Monday through Friday.
Sing it, Chris.
Let's go.
Thank you. You can follow KBRU on all your social media platforms. Just look for KBRU on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Get access to our new content and news, as well as special offers and contests.